I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast where we talk about what it's like to be sick. This week's guest is Katie. She has cyclic vomiting syndrome. Let's talk about it.
Well, let's not waste any more time. We've been sitting here for the last, 5 minutes staring at fucking most delicious looking brownies. Can I actually have one of those? Pouring up this red wine.
And God knows why you guys are drinking wine after what happened last night.
To your voice, man.
I know. Yeah. So, before we get down to brass tacks, I think we should probably say we had a very big night. Big weekend, actually, but it was a big night last night.
It was huge.
Our very close and dear friend, Jeff Lonas, he got married. So congrats, Jeff and Jill. You guys had a phenomenal wedding. It basically took place at the set of Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh, so cool.
Oh, my God.
Kids camp. On the lake.
Bunch of adults just getting...
Bunch of sports.
Bunch of activities.
So many activities. And then we get back, and Taylor can barely speak. His voice is shot.
Yeah, I don't know who I was screaming at.
Yeah. Brian, you don't sound too bad, but you look horrible.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a good thing that this isn't a visual thing.
I'm not as consistent. My voice isn't as consistently bad as Taylor's, but I have lots of voice cracks.
Yeah, and I went to theater school, so I know how to use my voice properly, and so I didn't lose my voice.
I feel like that doesn't have anything to do with it.
No, it has everything to do with it. But then we show up here, and our guest, Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Katie brought us fucking vegan chocolate brownies.
And they're so goddamn good.
They're so
good.
I
was saying that these would be the best brownies to give to somebody, like a blind taste test.
They're so good.
Don't tell them they're vegan. Mm-hmm. Someone who's like, thinks that they're really like anti-vegan or like anything that doesn't have dairy or eggs in it.
But how do you get your protein, people?
Well, these are made from black beans, right?
They are made from black beans.
I don't even like black beans, and this is great.
Right.
So thanks for the treats.
You're welcome. It's my favorite red wine. It's from Nova Scotia.
Get out.
Go Nova Scotia.
St. Femile, 2004 Avion Rouge.
I don't think the L's are
whatever. So hi, Katie.
Hi.
So it's kind of funny. We're sitting here talking about how ungodly hungover we are. I didn't throw up last night. Did you, Taylor?
I never do.
You never throw
up.
It's
my curse.
I tend to throw up sometimes when I'm drinking. Brian, did you throw up last night?
I didn't last night, but I felt like I probably would have felt better if I did.
Yeah, did you throw up today?
No.
Me
neither. I've never thrown up the morning after, but I've thrown up plenty the night before.
The reason I ask those questions is because, Katie, you're here to talk about throwing up.
I like to consider myself a professional puker, I may.
Oh, God.
That really comes off the tongue really well.
Doesn't it?
You know what?
Unfortunately, I don't get paid for it.
I was going to say, there's probably someone out there who does.
Oh, probably. There's probably some porn site where you can watch someone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
Jared's going to look into that later for sure.
You ever heard of Max Hardcore?
No, what is that, Taylor? Please do. Tell me.
I was listening to Joe Rogan the other day. Him and Tom Segura were talking about Max Hardcore. They do like crazy stuff, and Joe Rogan's he's trying to exaggerate the kind of crazy shit that they do to make his point. He's like, yeah, and what should we do next? We should let's just open your ass up and here's my keys. I'll just throw my keys in there.
I think I have heard Joe talking about Max Hardcore.
Apparently he does the craziest of shit you can think of.
Right. So Katie, what the fuck does that mean? You're a professional puker. Why? What do you have?
I have cyclic vomiting syndrome. It's not officially diagnosed.
Okay.
By my doctor, my family doctor.
Sure.
10 years ago, I threw up. Randomly, and have been throwing up on average, every 3 months for 10 years.
Well, how old are you now?
I'm 32.
Okay.
So in January of 2006, I went out for dinner. I came home. I felt sick and I started throwing up and I threw up all night. And it has not stopped since.
You mean you went out for dinner and had a lot of drinks too?
No.
Because I did that I once did when I was 22.
Jeremy, I think Jeremy has cyclic vomiting syndrome as well. It happens almost weekly on Saturday night.
No, you know, I actually don't often, I wouldn't call myself a professional puker, but I also throw up a whole lot.
Oh, from coughing.
From coughing so much.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't done it in a little bit. The last time I've done it was probably like a few weeks ago, but...
That's like a real rough morning, right? When you...
Rough morning. Yeah, I'll wake up and I'll just like... I just can't like breathe barely and I'll just cough and then I cough so much that like... I don't know what it is. I guess it's just like... Because when I cough so hard...
It activates your gag reflex.
Well...
I think. If I'm puking sometimes and I cough, while I'm puking... I'll throw up again.
I don't think it's my gag reflex because what I think it is that
because Jeremy doesn't really have a gag reflex. We've tried it a couple times. Taylor particularly
shut the
once.
Fuck up.
I won't tell that story.
I think it's because like there's so much like there's such a an intense sort of flexion and like compression of all of my like core muscles and like within my abdomen and my diaphragm and like,
yeah.
I think it's just like all pushing on my stomach and then I just fucking up chuck. But anyway,
good to know.
So when you, back in 2006, mm-hmm. Where did you go to dinner? Where did you go? Do you remember?
I went to Swiss Chalet. I had.
This is why you threw up. we are now getting down to it.
It's not food related. I promise you. I had a Caesar salad and pierogies. Which was probably my favorite meal at Swiss Chalet at the time.
Oh, so you were a regular there. So
not a regular, but who doesn't love pierogies? My boyfriend at the time was leaving to go to Australia for 6 months. So at first I thought maybe I was just, you know, nervous or upset or something that he was leaving and it was causing me to puke. Didn't even think twice about it. It lasted 12 hours. I threw up everything in my stomach and then went on my merry way like nothing had happened.
It sounds like, it sounds like food poisoning, right? Yeah. Like, I mean,
you must have thought that at the time.
Yes, that too. I thought maybe it was the pierogies, maybe it was the Caesar salad. I don't know. And then when it happened 3 months later and then 3 months after that and it started happening all the time and it was food that I had eaten hundreds of times, like hundreds. And I didn't. It wasn't like I didn't think it was an allergy. I didn't think it was food poisoning. It was just there was something wrong because it wasn't – I didn't feel nauseous. Sometimes when you have to puke, you feel like gurgly and
– Yeah, you feel it coming.
Nauseous. This is not – I don't have nausea. I have sharp shooting pain like someone has stuck a hot knife in my abdomen.
Oh, my Lord.
And it's like, get this fucking food out now.
So,
what? Yeah.
Man, this is so weird.
Like, and when you say you're throwing up for 12 hours, do you mean like – Like you're in the bathroom pretty much for 12 hours straight?
No.
Or?
So I'll describe a typical experience. They're not all the same by any means, but on average, they're like this. So I'll be going about my day, I eat something, and I feel a pain instantly. Like the second I swallow that piece of food, I feel a pain. I'm like...
Always with food?
Almost. I'm like, I'm going to puke. I know I am. So then I avoid it and I pretend it's not going to happen. And I think maybe it's not it this time. And then the pain keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And then I have to throw up.
Wait, so immediately you swallow it?
Yeah.
As soon as you swallow it?
As soon as it's in my stomach, I know. Because it just decides.
It's like, nope. Boom.
Game what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's instant.
Holy shit.
I know. And then I'll throw up some food and then I'll deal with the pain for a little while. And then I'll be like, no, I have to go throw up again. And then, so it's, there are periods in between the pukes, but from feeling the pain to being able to eat again is usually on average 12 hours.
And you're not making yourself throw up at any point throughout?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are. Okay.
That had to become a development in my life because I was at the point where it doesn't just automatically voluntarily come up. If I avoided it and didn't go to the bathroom and didn't try to puke, it would probably sit there with pain for like 8 hours and then I would have to throw up. But I've gotten to the point, it's been 10 years, I'm sick and tired of it. I feel the pain, I avoid it as long as I can, and then I go and make myself throw up.
And what do? You do the old like 1-2 finger pop down the throat?
I use my pinky.
Your pinky? Okay, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That is fucking super wild. So
it sucks.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
I'm really interested. Like, so the first time you're like, this could be, like you said, could be your boyfriend, could be whatever, it might be food poisoning. Second time, 3 months later, do you remember that time exactly?
I remember the next two. I don't know what order they were in. One, I was going to a professor's house for a poetry party because for one of my classes at St. Mary's, and I was eating vegetables and dip, got home, threw up everything. And then
you're like, the fucking professor.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't know how to cook vegetables.
You know what? I didn't even think anything. I thought that was probably food poisoning as well because it was different, you know, someone I'd never been to.
What if you're just super prone to food poisoning and it's only been food poisoning?
Yeah, you're just like, yeah, exactly.
And then the third time I think I must have ate breakfast and I went to school and I had the pain all day at school and it was atrocious. And then I got my friend to drive me home instead of taking the bus. Because the 80, we all know, from Halifax to Sackville sucks. And the second she dropped
anything
me off.
From Sackville sucks.
The 80 is a bus that you would expect to see someone just throwing up in the middle of the bus.
Exactly. And I probably would have if she had driven me home. She dropped me off. I go into my bathroom and just was in front of my toilet and throwing up the second. Because it's like my body was like, you're not throwing up yet. You're not throwing up yet. And I waited till I got home.
Yeah, I feel like vomiting on the bus to Sackville is just like a part of the...
it's a rite of passage.
Literally, yeah, exactly. Just part of the natural scenery.
No one even bats an eye at that happening.
No, yeah, it's like... It's part of the charm of the 80s. Yeah.
So Katie, like you're obviously like it's starting to become habitual and you're starting to realize this pattern. So what makes you now know that this or think that this is cyclical vomiting syndrome rather than just something like food poisoning?
Well, I've gone to doctors and I've had tests.
What was the first time that you went, you decided to go to a doctor?
Because I'm curious, like, you know, it happens the first time. It happens 3 months later-ish. It happens another 3 months later-ish. At what point, were you in those first two times, like after the poetry party, were you like, this was very similar to the Swiss Chalet thing?
No. So, didn't even think twice.
You're probably, how many times did it take before you realize that this is like
that's a good question.
A pattern?
I feel like it probably took a good year or more for me to go to my doctor and say
that's like
something's wrong.
Like four or five experiences of this happening and then going,
So you go to your doc.
My doctor... He's a nice old man who doesn't like to diagnose things too quickly. I won't say his name.
Probably a good thing, though. You know, you also don't want that doctor that's like, well, you've got bowel cancer for sure.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, what the fuck? I didn't even say anything.
All I did was cough while you held my balls.
I don't think Katie has balls, but
I don't know. I gather that, but I'm trying to be gender neutral.
You're such an asshole, Taylor.
I don't have balls. He sent me for an upper GI. Which is like probably the first test anybody sends you for if you've got digestive issues.
What is that?
Gastrointestinal? Gastrointestinal.
Upper GI is you swallow some white, foamy, disgusting shit, and you stand and they take an x-ray of your chest and they watch how it goes down, basically.
I thought an upper GI was like a high-class army commander.
That's funny. That's funny.
And it came back normal.
Okay. And do you know what they were looking for? Were they were just anything weird, like
anything
maybe a foreign object kind of hanging out
in your esophagus
or something?
Yeah. If it was like there was a part of my upper GI tract that wasn't accepting the liquid or whatever. And the problem with this disease is that when it's not happening, I function completely normally.
Right.
No side effects outside of just the experience.
I actually threw up from Thursday night until Saturday night.
Oh, so you just went.
I just had an episode. Oh. It was a 3 day long episode, and I looked perfectly fine.
No, what did you eat? What did you eat that time?
I was Swiss at work. Chalet. No, I was at work, and I had a couple pieces of carrot at 10:30. And as soon as I swallowed the first or second carrot, I was like, "Fuck!" I felt it in my. And I texted John. I was like,
"That's weird.
I'm going to throw up."
Oh man,
this is fascinating. So, are you kind of really? Is it really annoying that a doctor hasn't officially been like, this is definitely what is happening?
Yeah.
It is.
And you'd just probably just be really relieved. You'd probably be really relieved.
I would be. And I mean, I've had doctors like in the ER or like I'm going to an acupuncturist and she talked to other doctors and they were like, oh, it all sounds like cyclic vomiting syndrome. But I have never personally had a specialist or my family doctor diagnose me in front of me.
So coming back to swallowing the yellow foamy
white chalky
yeah. stuff, and then so that comes back negative, your upper GI. What happened next? Like, did they do any more tests? Do you
not
remember?
After that, so I went back to the doctor, tests were normal. Okay, great. What else? What's next?
What are they testing?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know what they're testing for. And they don't know what they're testing for because they don't know what this disease, I don't even think it existed 10 years ago. When I was Googling it or trying to figure it out, it didn't exist. So just recently, within probably the last 5 years, was the first time I came upon an actual accredited website, which is the Association for Diabetes and Digestive Disorders. And it's finally recognized as an actual disorder. So just recently.
Cyclic vomiting syndrome, CVS, they named it after
a pharmacist,
is a rare disorder characterized by recurrent similar episodes of severe nausea and vomiting. An episode may last for a few hours to several days. Oh, Jesus. And then it's followed by a period of time which affected individuals are free of severe nausea and vomiting. It doesn't look like there's
not a lot.
Are they not diagnosing you with it because it's, I mean, he mentioned severe nausea in the description of what it is. So is that making, because you said you don't get nauseous?
I don't, see, it's kind of my fault. I don't go to my family doctor very often. A, it's hard to get into him. B, I have
Right into the mic, sorry. Yeah, just say that
so,
again.
I don't go to my family doctor very often. He's super hard to get into. I have to wait like 3 hours when I'm there, and he's in and out and talks about the weather and the Olympics for 15 minutes when I'm in there, and then it's like, okay, what do you need? Okay, goodbye.
Right, yeah.
So when I've gone to the emergency room probably 3 or 4 times for dehydration because I've been puking for 3 days, and the doctor's there like, oh, well, maybe it's cyclic vomiting syndrome. Maybe, yeah, probably. And then, like I said, I've been going to an acupuncturist to try to, I'm at my wit's end, I'm done with doctors basically. So I'm going to her and she is on a forum and she talks to all these doctors and she presented my symptoms and 13 of them came back saying cyclic vomiting.
So do you, I mean, that sounds pretty much like a diagnosis because like really, how else are you supposed to get diagnosed?
If
your doctor can't see you really doing this,
because so it's not like that's why I say I have it.
I'm not a doctor, but yeah.
I know
you can't hang around your doc for 3 months exactly. and just be like, wait, it's gonna happen at some point.
Exactly.
And
then
when you see it, you'll know.
Yeah. And one time I went to him and I was telling him all about it, and he said, well, this is what you need. You need a HIDA scan. Okay. But you need to go.
What's that?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
He says, you need to go and get it while one's happening. So the next time it happens, go to the emergency room and tell them you need a HIDA scan. Okay, that sounds super awesome and super easy. Have you gone to a Halifax emergency room and tried to tell them what you need?
While I'm vomiting.
So I went to the Halifax one night with my mom. I was puking and I was like, it's right after he told me I need to get this HIDA scan. So that's what I'm going to tell them I need. They're like, what's that? They didn't know what it was.
They didn't know what it was?
Nope. So I put me in a room. I'll never go back to Halifax.
He made it up. You walked over there and he was just like,
so
she's going to go and ask
for
that.
So I went back. It's a scan where they inject you with fluid and then they scan your whole body to see where the fluid goes. So I went back to him and I said, I told them that I needed one and they didn't give me. He was like, oh, well, you have to be referred for one.
You're like, he's the one that refers.
Okay.
He does the referring.
Yeah, exactly. So he messed
what
up.
What a turkey.
He's like,
So did he refer you
he
then?
He did, and it came back normal.
Right, okay.
Until when I was at my beautiful, lovely, wonderful acupuncturist who asked for all of my medical records, and she said, did you know that in the results for your HIDA scan, it showed that your biliary duct is only working at 50%? I said, no. And
what is that?
Your biliary duct is a little tiny duct that goes from your gallbladder to your stomach and it releases bile to help digest your food. 50% functioning is considered normal. But I don't know, maybe it doesn't, maybe 50% is not normal for me. And it's
right. Well, I'm just reading here right now, diagnosis of CVS, a diagnosis of cyclic vomiting syndrome. And this may be helpful for anybody else out there who may think that they have CVS, may be suspected based on upon a thorough clinical evaluation, a detailed patient history, and identification of characteristic findings. So I guess if you don't actually know what the fuck CVS is and you've never come across it,
yeah,
you're not going to know what the characteristics of, yeah, of the illness are. The determination of cyclic vomiting syndrome can only be made after other causes of recurrent vomiting have been ruled out. There is no test to prove the presence of cyclic vomiting syndrome. That also probably makes it pretty fucking difficult. Although the presence of a urine ketosis early in an episode is helpful. A variety of tests may be used to rule out other more common causes of recurrent nausea and vomiting.
That's so interesting. That's probably why doctors are really, really don't like not jumping on diagnosing it, because if they can't, I mean, doctors are very fact, scientific driven people. So if they can't get something that tells them this is exactly what's happening, they're probably just like, well, I'm not going to say.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You can't. Yeah. Like, yeah, I think there's probably some legal ramifications there too. Yeah, you know, if you're diagnosing someone with something that they don't actually have based on just going, oh, you're throwing up some? I think you got CBS.
I've been throwing up for 10 years.
You know,
next time you eat some food and you feel that burning sensation, you're like, oh yeah, it's coming on. You should drive as fast as you can to your doctor's office and just bust through the door and then just start throwing up everywhere, like all over. Like the doctor comes out and he's like, what's going on? And you're like,
it's CBS.
And then maybe then he can diagnose you.
I really try to avoid it as much as I can. Literally try to convince myself that it's not happening, even though I know that it is. Because who likes puking?
So, honestly? Yeah, well, I do. I actually do. that's a weird thing. I do. I actually kind of do.
What
like
do you enjoy about it, Chair?
There's something. So even when I cough to throw up, like to the point where I throw up, like after the act of throwing up, there's something so, I don't want to sound like fucking super hippy dippy about it, like, but it's like super cleansing. Like, I just feel like,
I feel that when I drunk throw up.
Yeah. Same thing. Like when I'm drunk, when I'm like, oh, I think I had too much to drink and I either make myself throw up or I just throw up anyway, I just feel great. Like, and maybe Taylor, you're sitting there shaking your head at me, but like, I think there very well could be some sort of like,
I get the
adrenaline release or like some sort of dopamine release through the act of doing it.
I get the post satisfaction of having it done.
Yeah.
But the act of throwing up.
But the act itself is not so maybe like is too strong of a word, but
you
I also
don't hate it.
No, not at all. There's no part of me that's like, I hate this.
I wonder if there's anybody going around like just chasing
the high of
vomiting and they just love, like, in the moment of it happening. Then that's what they're loving.
I feel really great after I've thrown up, like, my stomach acid and the lining of my stomach at the end of an episode. That feels great. I'm ready to go again.
I can imagine that doesn't really feel
good, though. Is there any feeling at all for you when you're throwing up, that feeling of, like, resentment for puking or hate for the act of puking because you don't know why it's happening?
I don't think I feel any emotions toward the actual puking. I feel very angry and I cry a lot and I get so frustrated when they last longer or they're more intense or whatever, because I'm just so frustrated that it's happening and that there's no way to stop them. There's no cure. There's no nothing. So I just think that they're going to end sometime. One day I'm going to wake up and it's never going to happen, but then it happens again. And I just get so annoyed and frustrated that it's going to happen again and there's nothing I can do about it.
When I get into that sort of like throwing up from coughing kind of thing, generally it's the best if I don't have anything in me, because then I'll just do it once and like that's it. But if I have like a bunch of food or whatever or liquid in me, like I'm just I'll you know when like you throw up and then you throw up because you threw up?
Yeah.
You know, like, so I'll do that and then I'll like sometimes it'll go so long that I'll basically just be throwing up bile. Mm-hmm. So like if you, you know, you go through this, this episode of CVS, if you're puking for 12 hours throughout the day, like how does What's it get that? To that point? Are you just
yeah.
throwing so, up nothing?
What I've kind of discovered over the years is that when it's happening, my food doesn't digest. It stops digesting. And I think that that's what's kind of the indication that an attack is going to happen. So that's the pain saying, no, we're done. We're not digesting this food. It has to come up. So this weekend, this beautiful, lovely Labor Day weekend, I spent throwing up because I ate my lunch on I had the carrots. I felt the pain. I was like, you know what? I'm going to eat lunch anyway.
Fuck this.
Why? Why would I eat lunch? I don't know. Ooh. So I had a little piece of vegetable pot pie, which I made, which was delicious. And then I was fine. I had some pain throughout the day. I was a little uncomfortable. I went out Thursday night. I went to a play at the Fringe Fest. Came home. Still didn't throw up. Went to bed. And then I woke up and I threw up. Not even that much. It was mostly like liquid, but I mean, it was green. It was gross. And then I threw up all of my acid, my stomach, bile, like everything. Yeah. And I thought that
it hurts.
Yeah, it's like it's that. Rough.
Yeah, it burns the throat.
You touched on
it. Tastes really bad.
Yeah.
You touched on it. Sorry. You touched on it like 10 minutes back where you said that you've had to go to the hospital for dehydration.
Yeah.
So like if you have a 12-hour episode, or let's just work on the last time this happened, which you said was 3 days, mm-hmm. how many times are you puking?
Right. So,
and what is, and like, and how severe has your like dehydration got?
This weekend was better because I had someone kind of forcing me to drink water. Usually yeah. I'm really bad. Like on Friday, I called in sick to work and I was home. I drank one glass of water throughout the entire day after throwing up everything in my system.
Is it because you don't
want to
drink water?
I don't want to. I don't feel good. It hurts when I drink water because then I think I'm going to throw it up. In reality, I should be drinking so that I throw it up. So I thought it was better. I thought it was going to be fine. And then I threw up again on Friday night, just a little bit of liquid in the quarter of the cracker that I ate. Didn't sleep all night Friday, didn't puke again on Saturday, but I felt awful. I didn't want to drink, didn't want to eat. I wanted to go to the emergency room, but I didn't because I was like, my boyfriend John was like, you just need to drink water. You need to hydrate.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that because I can't just go to the emergency room because I feel bad. Like,
well, they can.
They would give me an IV. I've gone yeah. many a times. But the kicker is that Saturday night after drinking water all day, I was laying in bed. It was like 8 o'clock and I got up and I projectile vomited into the toilet.
From your bed.
From no, I got up to the bathroom and I threw up.
I set a world record.
I threw up food that I ate on Thursday.
Holy fuck.
On Saturday night.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem A, possible, or B, normal in any way.
No, it's not. It's not normal.
Do you think it could be because like all of the bile and stuff that helps to break down the food is just like you're
gone?
Just throwing it out?
Maybe.
Do you poop regularly?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
It's a really messed up
have
disease.
I was doing it on purpose at the end.
Okay, I guess the first question is,
Have you tried Reiki?
Have you tried Reiki?
No.
The first question is, have you been told, I know you haven't been diagnosed with it, but have you been told by anyone, professional or otherwise, of any sort of like treatments or anything that you can do preventative or in the middle of a breakout or?
No, when it was new and my doctor was still trying to diagnose me, I guess, he gave me an anti-nausea that they give to cancer patients when I was having the attacks because he thought it was nausea.
Right.
But that didn't help. I just threw up the pill.
Right.
What is nausea? Like, is it just the feeling of like feeling like you need to
yeah,
throw up?
Yeah, and this is not nausea. Like, I don't feel like I need to puke. I feel like there's a parasite in me that needs to get out.
Whoa, like, that's creepy. Like yeah. alien.
That's what it feels like. Like, it's like something is angry inside of my stomach and it's not going to be happy until it is out.
And you haven't tried Have you tried anything else? Like maybe taking spells, like Zantac or like potions, or any kind of like GERD sort of like medications or
Ouija?
No.
No.
Exorcisms.
No. After, so from my doctor, I've had the upper GI, I've had the HIDA scan, I had an ultrasound, I had blood tests. I think that's it for tests.
I feel like I'm sitting here just being like, we can figure this out.
Yeah,
like,
you know what? Let's try.
We got this.
So I went to a naturopath. Did not like her much. I just don't think we gelled. She told me to do this BERT test, which is when you drink water and baking soda in the morning and see how long it takes you to burp. I don't burp. My body does not burp. I don't know why.
Ever?
Ever.
What if you have a bunch of Coca-Cola?
Can you make yourself burp?
No. The only way
Wait.
Maybe that's part
right
of it.
Right now, you can't make yourself right here?
No.
You can't do that?
No. I can't burp. My body doesn't burp.
Don't.
Your turn. You can't do it, Taylor?
I used to be able to.
The only time I'll burp is if I'm about to throw up.
I almost threw up there.
So, Katie, I guess this has happened, you said, every 3 months.
On average.
It's not like a bang on the same day every 3 months. But
like, I had one at the beginning of August, and then I just had one now.
So. Okay, so it's getting more repetitive.
Kind of. The last year I've had more.
This is a short question.
Yeah.
Before, was it every 3 months, or were you just mean as like on average every three months? Like
it
happened 4 times in a year, so you just say 3 months.
No, it was pretty consistently every 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So
just this year's really when it started to get closer together.
Okay. So, I mean, over the last 10 years with that happening quite regularly, like how has that affected your life? Like has it ruined plans on weekends like this past weekend?
Well, I'm kind of an antisocial hermit in general. So
it hasn't really affected
you.
Okay.
If my plans have to be ruined for this, I'm not totally bummed. Depending on the plans, obviously.
You'd be happier to stay in anyway.
I'd be happier to stay
so
home.
So it's kind of like a good excuse.
Yeah, a little bit.
So it's a pro.
Yeah. I would have been really upset if it was still happening today, though. I might have still come.
Yeah.
I just would have had a bucket.
Oh, yeah. And I would have been like, this is brilliant.
Anyway.
That would have been awesome.
And then all four of us are just throwing up and then I'm throwing
it's
up.
It's loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we start puking.
I'm an extraordinarily loud puker as well. It's a violent puker.
Yeah,
I don't like. Do you? Yeah. Is it a full body kind of thing for you?
Because
so when I throw up again, and this is like it's something that I'm very familiar with. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when I go into like a really rager of a puke fest, I burst all the blood vessels in my eyes. Not in my eyeballs.
All of my eyeballs.
No, dude, it's fucking crazy. You should see it. It's above my eye, like between my eyelid. The tip of my eyelid all the way up to my eyebrow and pretty much the whole upper side of that, like everything below my eyebrow to my eyeball goes, it's just like hundreds and hundreds of these little dots, these red dots, and it's just like burst like blood vessels. It's fucking crazy.
That doesn't happen to me, even though they're pretty intense, but I've never burst any blood vessels.
I'm interested. I'm going to ask about the dehydration again because I've been so dehydrated. I was in Brazil and I was ass puking for days and days.
AKA shitting.
And I just wanted to make it relatable to the podcast. I got so dehydrated after 5 or 6 days that I was hallucinating.
People die from that.
I was delusional. Like I couldn't walk. I was dying like hardcore.
Yeah, isn't that like how people die of?
Yeah, it's very dangerous.
Maybe not dysentery, but
dehydration. I guess.
Well, yeah. no, but of like there was a wasn't there a thing like a really long time ago? Like we don't have to deal with it now. It's one of those
scurvy.
No, but something like that, where it's like you just shit yourself until you die, but you die of dehydration.
Cholera?
Yeah, like cholera. Yeah, that's it.
Something that vaccines cured, you mean?
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, I think I might have had cholera, actually. And You had cholera?
You can get cholera still?
Yeah, you can get cholera, but there's like, but you can,
you know,
it's very easy to get rid of it now.
CF patients can't really get cholera.
Well, I think you said.
Good for
I think
you.
Isn't said that crazy? I know.
So, is the dehydration has the dehydration become like crazy intense? Where you were really like
no,
really
I've
up?
I've never gone more than 3 days without drinking and throwing up and having to go to the hospital because I have a life. I have a job. Like I can't take more than 3 days off and still
even
you know,
if you're like totally screwed.
Well, if I'm, I live in Sackville. I live 2 seconds away from a hospital. So I'm on my floor and I can't walk and I'm puking and I can't keep anything down, it's easy for me to just go to the hospital. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. So I'm just going to go.
And just for all the listeners who are in the United States and I don't know, fucking elsewhere, not Nova Scotia. Yeah, you heard right. There's a place called Sackville.
It's actually called Lower Sackville.
It is called Lower Sackville.
There's a middle and an upper, too.
I know.
I never thought about Sackville like that until you... Sackville. Or was it you that said
yeah,
that?
Yeah, somebody said it to me when I was living in Ottawa.
They were like, are you serious?
Yeah.
It's called Lower Sackville.
I don't get it. I think it's a normal name, but I lived there my whole life.
No,
so.
But it's like lower ball sack. Like
yeah, exactly. That's what I
picture. That's where like your balls live. Yeah.
Maybe we yeah. maybe
it's in
we're
the
just
lower Sackville.
Yeah, it's in your lower Sackville. I've got a tumor in my lower Sackville. I gotta get it looked at.
Well,
in
now I'm never gonna think of it the same.
Ah, yeah, totally changed.
And it's a beautiful name. I mean,
it's
right?
A beautiful thing.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I was wondering, so... Can you recall? I mean, maybe it's all kind of blurred together the same, but this is a question for you, and then I want to throw it to the guys. But do you have a experience that you can recall that you would say is the worst puking experience you've ever had? Maybe it was environmental, or you know, situational where you weren't in your normal kind of habitat and you were throwing up, or just like a super gnarly experience physically that you were like, holy fuck, I've never, like, have you ever thrown up blood or anything?
No.
Crazy like that?
I've probably had three that are very similar that were just 3 days long, dry heaving, like continuously, like with almost no breaks.
Oh.
For a few days and then having to go to the hospital just to get an IV because I couldn't move. I couldn't stand. I couldn't function.
That's pretty wild.
And that's the thing. Like once I do throw up everything and it's not over, like it's rough.
The feeling of fatigue when you are dehydrated is so insane.
Yeah. I want to know what's your worst puking experience? Was it the time you were puking out of your ass, but also your mouth?
I didn't puke out of my mouth once that whole time.
Oh, you didn't? No. In Brazil?
I don't puke. Like I...
So really, it's just not something you do.
And not to make you envious or anything, I've puked maybe a handful of times my entire life.
Holy shit.
That was me up until this happened. I was not a puker.
Food poisoning is two of those. And that was pretty bad. That's what jumps to mind was, I had sushi at a place, it was veggie sushi. And, I had sushi with John, out at, I don't want to say the name of the restaurant because I don't think it's not really the restaurant's fault. I love that place. Paid and this is the sushi place is downtown and then went home, which is like 5 minute walk. And between leaving and getting home, like while I was just about to get home, I was like, oh no. Oh no, what's happening? I got to go to the bathroom right now. Had like crazy diarrhea and then puked all night long. It was brutal. So quick.
What about you, Brian? Your worst puking experience ever?
I was in Ukraine and I was at a bar. We were like pre-drinking at one bar and we were going to go to this club afterwards. And at the bar, there was a bunch of Ukrainian guys there and they had vodka bottles all down the table. And they kept saying this Ukrainian word for cheers. And we were toasting, and my brother and I were kind of going head to head and drinking shots. And I just knew, I had to go home. Like I probably did about 15 shots in a row, and it was, I drank so fast that I was sober for a short period of time, knowing that I was going to be really drunk. So I was like, I got to get home. So we get in this cab.
Right. You went 0 to 100
real quick
in 2.2.
And we're in this cab going to this club, and one of the guys that we were with was like, everybody has to go to the club. Nobody can go home, back to the hotel. Like, we're going to make this a big night. And it was like only like 8:30 at night. And I still being consciously knowing, like, I gotta get home. I'm going to be fucked. I started fake puking in the cab. So I was like, I gotta get out.
Your fake gag noises and fake pre-puke noises are really really convincing. So whenever you do it, it makes me kind of go like, oh god.
And the cab driver just pulled over and kicked us all out. There's like four of us, including one Ukrainian guy in the cab. And it kicked us all out. Everybody's pissed at me, but I just knew I had to get out of the car. So my friend's girlfriend was with us, and she offered to take me back to the hotel. And we get in another cab, and I can feel it building the whole way. And we get back to the hotel, and just as we get back, I threw up all over the cab. We like pulled into the hotel parking lot, and I just threw up all over the cab. I don't remember any of it. I don't remember any of that, but I woke up the next morning.
Fuck, that sucks for that guy.
I was staying in a hotel room where it was actually a flotel. It was a houseboat hotel. And all the slat blinds down my window facing out to the balcony covered in puke. So it looks like I made it to the door, but I couldn't get the blinds. The blinds were covering the door, and I couldn't get it open, so I just puked all over the wooden slat.
You were like, maybe if I get my mouth close enough to these slats, I can get it through the holes into the toilet.
Through the window. And it was McDonald's fries and stuff. So it was like, smelled like, it was awful.
Oh, that's so gross. You know what I've done twice in my life? Is puked in my mouth, kept my mouth closed, and swallowed it.
Dude, that is epically gross.
drinking both times.
Oh, you easily would have done that last night. I did it
because I was in a bar. I was in a bar, and I was walking to the door, and I was like, holy shit, I'm going to puke right now. And I was like, I'm not going to puke all over
the bar. Couldn't you hold it in your mouth and then spit it out?
Don't do that.
So many people. Find a purse somewhere?
Every time you do that, it's like we're losing one listener. Over and over again,
Oh my God, Brian, don't do that.
That doesn't bother me at all.
I think that bothers many people.
You're a pro.
Jerry, let's hear yours.
I don't know if you recall this, Brian, but it was a few weeks ago.
Natal Day?
Yeah.
I posted those all on Snapchat, by the way.
So, Jerry, you were right on Natal Day.
I was very, very intoxicated, and it was Natal Day, and there was this big celebration, and I decided to sprint. I was like, I'm going to sprint as fast as I can, like Usain Bolt. It was like Olympics were happening around that time. Like everyone was pumped up. So I tried to Usain Bolt it.
Down the middle of a dark, abandoned street at like 2 a.m.
And I caught up to Brian at the end of my sprint, and I was breathing so hard. And then I just started like violently throwing up.
Dude,
that's why I was walking, but I kept walking.
That's the one word that comes to mind when you violent? Talk about your puke. Yeah, violent. Like it was so violent.
It was violently.
You were pretty violent
when
we were in Toronto doing our recordings.
You had that
allergic reaction to the quantity of beer that you drank.
the beer, I was allergic to the beer. Anyway, but there was one time that when I was young that I funneled, this is all drinking related puking, but I funneled some rum and cokes. And we had this thing
fuck, that's gross.
It was really bad. We had this thing some guys that I went to high school with had this funnel, and to get your name engraved on the funnel, you had to funnel 3 beers. I do not condone this. Any young listeners, do not do this at home. Funnel 3 beers out of the funnel. And which is a fuck, that's a hard thing to do.
That's a fuckload of beer.
Yeah. And so I did it that night.
Dude, that's a liter of beer in like probably what, like six or seven seconds.
Yeah. It was bad. And I did it. And I was like, yo, I that was amazing. I feel unstoppable. I got my name on the funnel. And I was like, I'm going to start funneling rum and cokes. And I was funneling rum and cokes. No. Anyway, it was a real bad night.
You threw up in the
I probably should have died because I got home. This is the only time I've ever blacked out completely. I do not remember anything. I got home. My grandparents were at the house, and my cousin was also visiting. Now, my cousin and my sister were sharing my sister's bed. I was going to sleep on the couch in my sister's room because my grandparents were taking my room. And I was just home from university, so they're like taking my room that I used to sleep in. And apparently my sister wakes up at like 4 a.m. to me standing next to her bed with my hand on her bed, keel, like standing up, but like hunched over. And I'm just blasting vomit all over the floor. Oh, and she thinks I'm puking into a bucket. So she's going, Jeremy, can you fucking take it to the bathroom? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I like,
and you're just puking all over her floor.
Oh, I'm just covering her floor with puke. And so then I walk to the bathroom. On my way to the bathroom, cover the hallway, cover the ground, oh, get into the bathroom, and I guess what I had done was puked everywhere.
Your parents is on the toilet.
No, like, well, just wait.
Oh, God.
I cover the bathroom. I don't even get any in the toilet. So now I'm just laying. I'm laying down naked in a whole bunch of puke in the bathroom. My grandfather, poor guy. He's got a little, you know, a little old grandfather bladder. He wakes up at like 4:30 a.m. and he has to go to the bathroom. And he comes into the bathroom and
he's sloshing down the hall.
He is convinced that I'm a whole. He doesn't recognize me because I'm face down. Thinks a homeless man has broken into the house and has covered the bathroom in puke. So he goes down to like
get a shotgun.
You know, he goes to shake me and he starts shaking me and I turn around and I go, ah, and I start shaking my hands at him, like flicking puke at him.
Oh, God.
Dude, awful, awful experience. Anyway, the next morning I wake
up. That's not your worst puke?
That was the worst one. That was the worst one. No, the running one was one of the most violent ones I've had recently. But anyway, needless to say, my family wasn't impressed.
Katie, the question I wanted to back to Katie. The question I wanted to ask you is let me think about it for a second because
you're married, Katie? Is that
I'm not married. I'm in a relationship. In a life committed tattoo relationship.
Okay. What do you call your partner?
John.
Do you call him your partner?
Or do you call him your boyfriend?
Well, it depends on the moment. Boyfriend, life partner.
I always say girlfriend, and then Kyla's like...
It just seems so juvenile sometimes.
Totally, yeah. And especially we've been together for 5 years, but we also like don't want to get the whole Mary thing going. And I hate... The term partner.
It's a weird thing. It makes me feel a little too adult, sometimes a little lesbian, which there's nothing wrong with that.
Totally. It's so ambiguous.
Yeah, it is.
Ambiguous.
If I say my partner, is it a girl?
Does it make you feel like a lesbian, Taylor?
Yeah, I just feel like a lesbian every time
The reason I asked, you're in a relationship, I was wondering with what the professional puking has done to your relationship, if anything.
It's definitely hard for him in the sense that he just wants to help me. Like, he's always like, what can I do? How are you feeling? What's that face? Like, are you okay?
What's that face?
What's happening right now?
What are you trying to tell me?
What are those Lamaze breathings?
Yeah, typical man, right?
And he can't. There's nothing he can do. I'm kind of a little bit of a bitch. And I'm like, get away. Don't touch me. Don't look at me. Go. Don't listen to me puke. Like, I just want to be left alone. But can you go get me a Gatorade or can you go get me water?
Go away, but don't go away too far.
And he just wants to know what it is. And he's frustrated like I am, but he's also like, I need to take better care of myself, which I know that I do. I don't drink enough water when I'm in the process. Like, I don't go to my doctor enough. I'm not really super consistent with trying to get it diagnosed. I've just kind of accepted that it happens. And that's hard for him because he doesn't want it to happen. He wants it to be fixed, but I mean, I don't think it's going to.
Right.
Because
right.
It's so new anyway with them even saying like that it's a thing. Yeah. Alone, like
there was a website just came up 5 years ago for the first time ever.
But I don't mean to be an asshole, but like, you know, it won't get fixed. I mean, who knows? Maybe one day it just won't ever come back.
Yeah.
But if it is something that is consistent, it's not going to stop unless you're proactive about it, right? Like you know, that's the fucking shitty thing about having a rare disorder is that it's probably a lot of backbreaking work to find to get to the places that will, you know, actually tell you what you're dealing with. But I mean, he's kind of got a point, right? It's you got to do. I mean, if you want it to end, or if you want to find some sort of way to treat it, it's you kind of got to do some work to do it.
A little bit of a wake up call. Like him at me trying to get me to drink water and drink water. Like that's something that I need to just understand and get in my head that the more I drink water, yes, I'm probably going to throw up more, but then it might be over sooner. So if I had have been drinking as much water as I drank on Saturday, on Friday night, I might have thrown up that massive projectile vomit of vegetable pot pie on Friday night and not Saturday night. And I would have been fine then. You know, I would have had a whole weekend instead of Sunday. And yesterday I was not great.
Would you say it's severe? Like it's enough of an issue that it's like it potentially could be taking a toll on your guys' relationship? Or... you know, like if this kept up and you were just like, no, like I'm just going to do my thing and not like actually like, do you think he would just be like, well, then I can't fucking deal with this?
I don't know. I think his frustrations would definitely get stronger. I can't speak and say that he would break up with me, but I don't think he would. But I think he would be very angry that I was not taking care of myself.
Yeah.
Which obviously is understandable.
Yeah. I feel like if I was... not like if I was really not taking care of myself, like that, there's a lot of things that I could be doing to take care of myself more in terms of my CF, right? But if I was really not taking care of myself, like I feel like it would be enough that
she would leave you,
Well, that she would just be like, yo, if you're not willing to, like, especially if I was not taking care of myself and rely, like, and kind of like putting the burden on her to take care of me or some shit like that, you know, which I may or may not do a little bit when I'm feeling sick, but. But yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things that it can take a very, like, serious toll on a relationship. So it's...
yeah, I'm lucky that it's not such a consistent thing.
Right, yeah.
It's that like, it's not every day and that when it does happen, it's kind of like, oh, crap. Like, oh, I feel so bad, you know? He honestly just wants me to be better. And that's, you know, they can't say anything bad about that. He just wants me to be healthy. When it's happening, it's very frustrating for both of us and... there's nothing we can do other than wait for it to end.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to ask about. When you came in here earlier before the guys got here, we were talking, I was asking if you listen to any of the other episodes.
Oh yeah.
We were talking about, Matt Slaney and diabetes and you were saying, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about my cyclic vomiting because you feel that it's really manageable. Like, it's not like, something that's like always really pressing in your life, but it's something that you can manage. But it is something that, like, I mean, diabetes is something that you have to take care of every day, and you're constantly checking your blood, eating to manage your levels. But for you, when the vomiting starts, it's like, okay, now I'm vomiting, right? So it's not like it's manageable, but it's something that really does kind of consume your day, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It can take over.
For a couple days,
yeah. I'm lucky that it's usually 12 hours. That's really the average. more than 12 hours is rare.
But how does that make you feel about it on a whole? Like, do you feel like, shitty that this kind of thing has been... the spell has been cast upon you, or do you feel like, whatever, I can handle it?
It depends on the day. If I, like the one that I had at the beginning of August, I threw up once. I had the pains all day, threw up once, and then I slept all night. And I was like, if I could have every episode like this, I would be golden.
I would love it.
I would love it, honestly, because that is totally, if I can sleep at night, then I am happy. Like, I didn't, I think I probably got 5 hours sleep since like Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Which has a crazy effect on like your mood and like everything that
I don't want to be a cranky bitch. Human.
Like, we kind of have touched on this a few times on a few different episodes just through the life of the podcast about, you know, what it does to you when you don't get enough sleep. And like, you know, sometimes if I get two bad sleeps in a row, which is rare for me, I sleep like a log, but if I get two bad sleeps in a row, I'm a wreck. I'm a wreck. I can't do anything. And
I used to think that sleep deprivation and like being overworked was a cause of this, and that if there were spells where I wouldn't sleep great or I'd be super busy at work or
like magical spells.
Busy magical spells.
Like black magic.
Yeah, there was a few times, like it was probably 5 episodes in a row. Episodes is what I call them, my pukes.
Totally.
Where they would happen when I was super tired or like really busy for the week and working 2 jobs, like, you know, 2 weeks straight, and then I would just have one. So I was like, oh, I must be overtired, my body's stressed, it's telling me that I need to slow down. But then I've had many of other times when I would be, you know, stressed to the max, super tired, working like crazy, and it just wouldn't happen. So
have you ever tried journaling or like keeping a diary of like of things leading up to
that would be episodes? Smart.
Cursive quotes on your wall. If you write cursive quotes on your wall.
I just recently this year, so February, the beginning of January, started keeping a journal of when they happen. So the dates and like how severe and how long they last.
Smart.
But I haven't been keeping any journaling about what I've been eating, how much water I've been drinking, working, sleeping, all that. So that might be my next step.
Yeah, you should do food, water, and sleep.
Yeah.
And just see.
I agree.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Like January, February, March, I think I had 4 in a 6-week period.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was, it was bad. It was really bad. And then they kind of went back to
it goes back to the like the lupus episode. It goes to the when we talked to MJ Bowie about like patient advocacy.
Oh, I just listened to that one today. Oh my god, that was rough.
Yeah,
crying in my car.
I cried like, in that conversation.
But I think that was a really powerful conversation that we talked about patient advocacy because, if you went equipped to your doctor with a full year journal of what you've eaten, what you've, how much water you've drank, how much sleep you've gotten, and said, okay, look, like I've looked at all of these things and I think that these might be factors, or there's no like rhyme or reason why this is happening. Please tell me why the fuck this is happening. Then, and we're more of an advocate for yourself. Not that you're not, but
I'm not.
But do you think that might help her? Would you consider doing something like that?
I definitely am trying to make the effort to journal. I'm really bad at stuff like that, like really, really bad, but I'm going to try.
You know what I did when I was in high school and I was told I had to journal for projects?
Did you dicks on loose leaf for an hour and a half?
No.
Jonah
Jesus. No, I always said, can I video journal instead? And the teachers are always like, yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Oh, what? Come on. Do a little vlog, a little puke vlog.
Audio journal?
Yeah, or audio journal. You got a voice memo thing on your phone, right? It's another way of doing it.
I'm a writer.
Yeah, okay, sure, sure. All right. Yeah.
You know what? Anyway, I'll say right now.
I cut you off, though. Sorry, you were about to...
I don't remember.
Yeah, fine.
I'll say right now, worst. Katie, if you make a deal with us right now to keep a journal of that stuff for the next 6 months to a year... That's a long time.
Are you volunteering? If you got all of you for something?
No, but if you do that, we would love to have you back on the podcast and talk about your experience in doing that.
Just have you read your journal on the podcast. Well,
and talk to your doctor about it and find out, like, because I'm really interested to like to see what would come
what
of that.
Happen?
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I mean, okay. I think it would be really cool.
I'll journal just to get back on the podcast.
I signed this waiver right here.
I do think it would be really cool, though, if you got to a point where, you know, I feel like that would be kind of best case scenario where you do get diagnosed, right? And you do end up trying a series of treatments. I mean, while we were sitting here earlier, I was scrolling through that, that website. But it said it was, well, basically what he was saying was that there's no specific treatment for individuals.
Right.
But each individual or some individuals have found treatments that work for them. And things like Zantac were on there. There was a whole list of things on there. And I mean, you know, listeners at home, you could do your research too. But there was a thing that said that they think there's some sort of correlation between migraines and cyclical vomiting syndrome.
I have read that many times.
And that some people that were taking migraine medication, it actually helped with their CVS. So, I mean, you know, there could be ways to treat it.
Yeah.
As you know, and who knows where the fuck we'll be in 2017 or 2018.
That's true.
They might.
There could be two websites.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
Double the information. Yeah.
I think like that's a good way to sum it up too, Jared. Like it seems like there's a lot of dark areas surrounding CVS and that it is really in its infancy as a disease that's being looked at as something that's legit, I guess.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing though. That's super crazy. That was on that site, which said cyclic vomiting syndrome was first described in the medical literature in 1806 in French and 1882 in English. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that clearly has been documented. Like, huh, there's this weird thing where, and also it said mostly women have it, where mostly women are throwing up in this like super weird manner. Yet we haven't really nailed down what the fuck is actually happening.
It's
right.
Very,
it's still super
interesting.
It would be nice for you like to see someone who has some rare condition to actually find some closure there. And, you know, through kind of putting the work in, because like, that's the thing, is that if you have something that is considered rare and that isn't really being recognized in the medical world because it's so rare, it's like, well, then who's the one to do the work to figure it out? It's kind of the patient advocacy, right? The self work and the self care to find yourself in that situation. Is that where you would like to see, like, or because you kind of alluded to it earlier that you were like, well, I'm resigned to the fact that this is how it is now.
Yeah.
Right? But do you think that you would like to have that resolve or would want to work towards it?
I don't care so much about the diagnosis.
Right.
I truly believe that this is what I have. I don't think I need my doctor to tell me. But I do I would like for me to be better at trying to figure out a way to either make it less frequent, less severe, you know, stop them altogether. That would be amazing. I don't think that's possible. But if I could do that, I think I would like it. But I don't know if I have that ability.
You do. Right. We're going to do the journal. You're going to bring me your notes in 6 months. I'm going to go through.
Okay.
I'm going to examine it and find any inconsistencies or consistencies.
Are you going to read it over the podcast?
No, well, I don't have to if you don't want me to, but okay. I'll do it for you.
That's okay. We can get
Brian's invested.
Yeah. Brian's invested now. Katie, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you're hoping we would jump into?
No, I think we covered everything. They're all very similar. I talked about the worst ones and the most recent. That was super fun. Mm-hmm. No, I think I'm good.
This has been one of like, this is super intriguing. Like, I think it's the mystery.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like you said, it's not really a mystery. Like you're 99.9%.
You have CVS. Yeah. Like, I'm confident you have CVS.
Yeah. But there's that little sliver of just because it hasn't been.
Yeah. What if it's not?
Told to your face. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And like, or just the mystery of like, how? Yeah. Why? Like, it's very, very intriguing.
Why doesn't my food digest?
Yeah.
I've thrown up
that
completely undigested food 12 hours after I've eaten it. Like,
that's crazy.
Like,
to
not
me.
Even.
Well, are you going to look into the, are you going to look into the duct? Like, do you, yeah. did you, have you looked further into the duct that,
well,
doesn't
no, this
work
is
right?
what my acupuncturist, who I'm really, I love her and I'm really trying to give her a, you know, benefit of the doubt to try to fix me. I don't know if she can. I'm not like, you know, all pro natural medicine. I'm just willing to try it.
Totally.
I love her. I love the way that acupuncture makes me feel. I'm hoping that maybe after a year or two that it might get better. I don't know. She believes she can fix me. I'm letting her try.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where she's working. She's working on that duck to hopefully make it produce more bile.
And is there any way that you can go to I feel like medical doctors, they don't give the credit to natural medicine that it can deserve in a lot of ways. And not saying that they all don't, but some of them don't for sure. Could you go to a doctor and go, hey, like I've been going to an acupuncturist and like they're telling me that this duct doesn't work right. Can you look into that?
Yeah. And I think that's what I'll probably do when I go to my doctor next is I do think I'm going to ask for a scope, even though I do not want to have one, and tell them about the duct and just say like, listen, you didn't pick this up whenever that test was done. What do people do when it only works 50% of the time? Is there something you can do to make it produce more acid or bile or whatever?
See,
I feel like there's an answer in there somewhere with the duct.
I'm convinced that the doctor is
Taylor McGill for EMT.
I think I know it. It's with the duct. I think
I'm convinced that the doctors can for sure figure out what's going on with you. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they probably have to invest a lot of time and energy and resources. And they're looking at you as a patient and saying, well, whatever she has, which is probably CVS, is very manageable. Yeah. It only affects her really every 3 months. Ish, and
it's triage. It's a form of triage, really.
Yeah, it is, and it's like I have to get referred to a specialist probably to look at that duck. How long is that going to take? That might be 6 months. It might be 8. And how many episodes could I have until then?
And like you said yourself, like when you're not having an episode, you're completely healthy. Yeah. So they're looking at you like, why would we invest resources into
finding this out when you are really healthy,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's interesting.
Side note: before we officially wrap up this, when I buy plane tickets online, I choose the prefix doctor.
I don't know what that means.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Like I just doctor when I said, Taylor McGilvery.
When I said Taylor McGilvery MD, I was like, I actually do.
That's
like,
fucking hilarious. Yeah,
I always choose a different one. I kind of mix it up.
They ask you for your name, and then they say like, "What was your prefix, Mister, Mrs., Miss, Doctor?" I always choose doctor.
That's really funny.
Because it has no impact to whether or not you're going to get on the plane.
No, it has no impact at all. I just think it's funny.
Is there a doctor on the plane? Actually, yeah, there is.
Whoa. Maybe you shouldn't do that.
You'll be delivering a baby up in the air.
It's like, I can't go back now.
You should do Miss next time and see what happens.
Marine biologist.
Cause a big ruckus because the bathroom isn't gender neutral.
But you have a beard.
Hey man, I chose to be a woman today, so that was a joke. No,
anyway, let's cut that. Let's not get into that.
That was great. That was a really interesting conversation. I think part of me was kind of like, man, I really hope Katie pukes in the middle of this podcast. But I guess brownies and wine is just as good. Thank you, Katie. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
And sharing your experience with us.
I almost got lost, but
yeah,
I found it.
Actually, I almost went to Windmill Road. Oh, thankfully, wow. I'm ridiculous and I Googled the address again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate the hell out of you for doing that. And
we
would super preach if you did a couple things. Number one would be go over to Patreon, www.patreon.com/sickboy, and support us. We're just
get it.
Yeah, Katie, you're a Patreon supporter, aren't you? That's right.
Thank you so much.
And I rated you and gave a lovely review on iTunes.
Hey, and that was the next thing I was going to say was to do that.
Have you checked out any of the exclusive content on Patreon?
I just got my email saying that it was going to be dropped today.
Yeah, so tonight. Yeah. It's coming out tonight. did you listen to, have you gone back retroactively and listened to the E. coli episode with Stella?
No.
It's pretty sweet. You should check it out. So there's episodes up there that we don't release to the public, there might be a little conversation that got cut out of this episode you're listening to that will be some Patreon exclusive content there as well. But yeah, there's fun stuff on there, and like I was trying to say, we're three guys from Halifax. We're doing this without any sponsorship, and we want to continue to pump out the goods. So if you like what we're doing, go over to Patreon and just show us what you think our podcast is worth to you. And of course, do what Katie did. Go to iTunes and give us a rating, review. and subscribe.
I'll try.
Just read the reviews. Well, those alone are entertaining.
They're pretty fun reviews there. Leave a funny review for us. We love seeing them. You can check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We also have a bunch of really fun, silly shit that we put up on there.
But not LinkedIn.
No, we are not on LinkedIn yet. LinkedIn is helpful. Anyway, guys, thank you all so much for listening.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jeremy. And this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.